Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Are you a psychotherapist looking to enhance your practice? The Awareness Integration Therapy developed by Dr. Fujian Zeng is a comprehensive guide to the principles and techniques of this powerful therapeutic approach. Join the growing community who have elevated their practice and expanded their skills by embracing Awareness Integration Therapy and witnessing its life-changing impact. Order your copy on Amazon now.
Do you wish to wake up one day and hit the Life Reset button? Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zeng, helps you navigate crucial life areas, heal the past traumas, and cultivate fulfilling relationships and careers. Life Reset is your guide to a profound journey to reshape your life. Grab your copy on Amazon or Audible now and embark on a path to a more joyous and fulfilled life.
Welcome to the Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian podcast. And I am your host, Dr. Fujian Zeng, a psychotherapist and author and the creator of the Awareness Integration Theory. I'm so thrilled to have you join us today for what promises to be an insightful discussion. Actually, this discussion is a little bit different. Usually I have a lot of the scientists and scholars on my show. And I'm so glad that I have someone who she will be talking about her journey, her spiritual journey, her experience with her intuition. In this episode, I chat with Ray Leonard. She's an author, intuitive guide, and a coach. Her latest book is titled High Sobriety, A Trip Out of the Bottle into Your Intuition. She draws on several areas of expertise, including Jivamukti yoga, vortex healing, conscious language, and master cleansing to help people who are ready for post-traumatic growth. Ray combines her coaching practice with frequency work, biofeedback, and transformation to help her clients intentionally change their deeply rooted patterns and unearth a carefully calibrated inner compass. So it's our conversation was very personal. She was talking about, and her book is about her path of her spiritual connection, and then how she got into alcohol and drugs and what it did for her and to her and what it took for her to shift out of that, and how to bring that kind of peacefulness and content into your system, and how to be able to enjoy and get the gift of life from a dimension of your heart. She explains all of that to us. She also gives you an amazing recipe. So you gotta, she does cleansing and she gave us a great recipe. So not only is in the book, but also on the podcast. So I'm sure you'll enjoy it as much as I did. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and give a review, my YouTube channel, and connect with me through my website, fujianzeng.com, or any of my social media platforms. Share your thoughts with me. I love to hear from you. And without further ado, here is Ray Leonard.
Intentional Parenting, a Practical Guide to Awareness Integration Theory, written by Dr. Jafari, Dr. Fujian Zeng, and Dr. Manoukian, three experts in human development, is your step-by-step guide to raising a healthy child prepared for a culturally integrated world. You're supported in parenting infants to adolescents using the latest evidence-based scientific research on parenting. Order your copy on Amazon now.
Eliminate stress, reduce anxiety, and decrease depression. Dr. Fujian Zeng's Awareness Integration Theory has helped thousands like you get incredible life-changing results. The Fujian app gives you her evidence-based treatment in the palm of your hand. Download today.
Well, hello. I am so excited to have you, Ray Leonard, with us. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fujian. I am so honored to be here with you.
You have shared with me this beautiful book, The High Sobriety. And as you can see, I've flagged it already. Yeah. And I love to, and let me put the book out there for people to see. High Sobriety, A Trip out of the bottle and into an intuition. And you share about experiences. So please tell me and tell us, our audience, what got you into it and what got you out of it? Because there's a process that gets us into an attachment, right? I've worked with addiction for almost 32 years. So, and I consider myself and my brain, and, you know, as a brain of an addict. And my drug of choice was nicotine and cigarette smoking, and then it turned into food. And so it's more like there's a way that we could monitor ourselves getting into a space, and then of a deep, deep attachment that at times feels like it's an existential attachment. Like if it doesn't exist, I don't exist. Like if I'm not attached to whether it's a behavior or a substance or whatever, that I'm not, I don't even exist. And then there's a part that, for example, as you shared, is a trip out of it and then into ourselves and connecting and attaching to who we are. And I really want to hear your journey.
Well, first, I'm not a doctor, so I didn't come from that place of exactly the definition of what addiction is. Yet I have one of my own, which is that helps me when I'm becoming attached to things. And that is, addiction is an activity or a repetition of an activity that when you are performing it, it is not getting you what you really want in your life. So that helps me determine, is this going down the road of all the things that I want? And I'm pretty into doing this, and I did it yesterday and I did it the day before. Is this something that I want to keep repeating because it's on my path or not? So that's my definition of addiction. That's what helps me. My journey, my story is, in a nutshell, my parents split up when we were all very young, and I felt lost amidst their budding lives. They were definitely there for me when I was a baby and a very young child, and then they split up, and it was like, poof, a bomb went off, and all of a sudden I was alone. And the good news, the good part about that is that I developed an intuition very early on. My extrasensory perceptions came through as a survival instinct of mine, psychic powers and deep sense of my spirit guides were around me, and I knew how to navigate the world at a very young age. I knew who I wanted to go home with and get some good dinner. I knew who I wanted to, you're going to the beach this weekend, I'm going to, you know, hop a ride with you. And I knew it not because of anything that anyone said. It was a claircognizant experience. I knew it in my gut. And I also, another clairsense of mine that was very strong is my sense of scents. My nose knows. I could literally smell people, and I knew if I wanted to come closer to them or move farther away from them. As I got to be an adolescent, peer pressure overwhelmed me. The entrainment of the public school system, you know, it's not like they have clubs after school, psychic powers, room 101, go develop them, you know? So it was, they were repressed. And also, especially through my early use of drugs and alcohol to kill a lot of pain that I had. So at the same time, I was also always kind of naturally a health nut. I went to yoga. I liked good food. And when I was feeling good, I was meditating and having really positive connecting practices with the divine and my higher self in my life. And then also because of my environment, I was hitting it pretty hard with drugs and alcohol on the weekends. During the week, sometime I was blacking out and binging maybe once a month. And I ran this dual
life
for many years. It worked for me. And I always said, oh, well, I'm cool. I don't have an addictive personality, so I can, you know, drink and smoke with the big boys and I'm fine. You know, I thought I was really, really cool that I could do that. And it worked for me for a long time until my mid-40s when, surprise, surprise, when you engage in activities that are very addictive, very dangerous substances, which, by the way, I like to point out are mass-produced, mass-marketed, socially acceptable, and yet very addictive, dangerous, psychotropic substances. So it's not a surprise that there are so many addicts in our society. So I got to my mid-40s. I noticed that these, I really felt them as negative entities surrounding me. I felt that they had their claws in me. They were a different voice than me, telling me to drink earlier and earlier in the day. And because I had skills, I was older, I wasn't a young person when I finally did become addicted, I knew the difference between me and them. And the spirits, as I like to call them, as alcohol is called spirits for a reason. It's not a coincidence. And I felt that I had to break free. I did that. I quit cold turkey. And as soon as I did that, my intuition and all of my gifts came flooding back to support me.
What got you to that place of saying, that's it? Because it seems like it's been there for a long time. You've had, you know, the experience from youth all the way to 40. And all of this experience was there and part of your like duality of life. And then yet there was a time when you said, enough. And there was a distinction. And then you decided that you were going to win this game versus, you know, your other sides, spirits and all. What brought you to that? What got you? What was the distinction? And what got you the, let's say, the courage or the insistence or the commitment to be able to do that?
There were many things. You know, it's kind of like, what was the actual straw that pushed me over the edge? I had children who were growing up who were becoming teenagers, and I noticed, oh wow, they're going to be mimicking my behavior. You know, they're going to be
a good role model.
I wanted to be a good role model, absolutely. And so that was one thing. I started, my tooth cracked off. My health started to suffer. I had a lot of bladder infections. One day my tooth just cracked off and, you know, people said, oh, well, that happens, you know, but I knew that it was alcohol and drug related. I knew it was chemically related.
Like your body was giving you some messages now, like the environment was giving you messages, which were your children growing up and we're going to follow in your footsteps. And then your body was also giving you a message, enough is enough.
Yes. I was a yoga teacher. And one night I was out in a restaurant and I was drinking and someone handed me some marijuana and I was just having a good old time. And I looked across the room, it was an outside deck. And there was one of my yoga students looking at me like, are you kidding? You know, like so crushed, so disappointed. And I said, wow, I can't, I can't be, you know, a role model, same thing, a role model, and be behaving like this when I feel like it.
I remember when you said that, it's, I want to share this story with you, that I smoked cigarettes from probably age 12 and a half, all the way to, I want to say like 43, 44. And I remember I was working with a client who he was addicted to crystal meth. And I went and saw him when he was detoxing in the hospital. And he kept telling me, you don't understand. You're not an addict. You don't understand. And I kept telling him, of course I understand, because the addict mind is similar. And I totally get what you're going through. And I had to go and do all of this. And I had to quit. And I can support you in how to do it. Fast forward, he was my client for about 2 years. He was off completely all the drugs. He was doing amazing. He went back to school. He opened up his own business. I went to Vegas, and I, you know, I don't know if you remember those little cigars, which had a taste like they had vanilla, strawberry, cherries, little cigars. And I went back. I was in Vegas, and I saw these, and I'm like, ooh, you know, these are cigars. They're not cigarettes. It's okay. You know, I'm just going to try it. And guess what? With one try, I went right back into smoking one pack of cigarette. So I remember coming back, and the next week I was at the office, and he walked in. Ray, he walked in and he go, smelled, you were smoking. You relapsed. And I was standing there, and I just thought, I have to be honest with him. Like, I can't lie on top of that. So I said, yes, I did, but it's different. This is only a cigarette. Ray, he fell into that chair and he looked at me with this disappointment and said, I told you it was different. You're the one who convinced me it was the same. And if you relapse, that means I will. I never want to see you again. He walked in that office. And it was the biggest blow, right, in my face. That was the end of me smoking cigarette. He called
me. You.
Yes. He called me the week after. And he's like, hey, are you still smoking? I said, no, you gave me the biggest lesson of my life. He said, good. I'm still not coming back, but I'll be checking on you. Like 3 months later, he calls me. I'm still checking on you. I said, no, you did give me the biggest gift of my life. He says, you're welcome. You also gave me the biggest gift of my life. So when you said that as a role model, I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you know, cigarettes have, they put addictive chemicals in them also, you know. It's not just that we're weak. There's actually chemicals in them to keep us using those products.
But you were sharing about the role model, and you saw your yoga student, and you saw your children, and you saw that you just could not hold on to this type of duality anymore. And your body was telling you it just can't work anymore.
Yes. And I was also, consuming less and blacking out more. You know, I couldn't really hold my liquor anymore. I was blacking out, not remembering things and not remembering the whole evening more and more and more and more. And so I saw it creeping and taking over my life.
Yes. And so you decided, that's it, enough is enough? Or what, yes. What got you to make that decision? And was this the first time you ever made that decision?
Yes, it was. And I was graced. I know that I was graced, but part of the reason that I like to share my story is because this can happen for anyone as well. I acquired tools. I kind of did it slowly. I said, I'm not going to just make a big announcement, war on drugs and alcohol, Ray's over here, she quits. I didn't want to, I kind of wanted to sneak up on the entities. I started amping up on my yoga asana practice. I amped up on my Buddhist practice. I started listening to sober podcasts while I drank. I still like took a glass of whiskey to my altar and chanted. I kept drinking. And so that, you know, I really had an us and me attitude that, you know, they were seeing what I was doing. And so I was building my strength as I continued to drink until I felt I was strong enough. And one last hangover, it wasn't very noticeable or exciting or, you know, interesting in any way, except that when I woke up in the morning, I had a dream that night that I was a horse let out into a pasture. And there was a farmhand in the distance, and he was digging a hole for a fence post. And I came out into this beautiful pasture, and it smelled like lovely wildflowers. And the gentleman with the shovel, he stopped, he looked at me, smiled, he wiped his brow, gave me like a little wink, and I said, oh, rock bottom is when you quit digging. You don't have to wait to lose everything, to wreck your relationships, to end up, you know, that you need to go to detox or rehab. Of course, if that's what you need to do, of course, do it. But that you can decide, I'm done, and I'm not going to worry about what other people think is socially acceptable about going out, you know, in public, and why aren't you drinking, or, you know, are you an alcoholic or anything, that you can just be like, that was my rock bottom. I'm done.
I love what you said, because I've really experienced this with a lot of my clients, which is, at one point, I think that, Ray, the whole field of therapy was you stop and then we begin. I even remember the times, you know, I've been a therapist for 30 years. At the beginning, it was like, I won't even see you unless you've committed yourself to stop, you know, to do that. But what you said is so important, which is sometimes we need to get the strength to stop. And therefore, we need to start hanging on to something, receiving information, receiving what's out there, receiving and learning skills in a theoretical way, in hearing it so many times until it finally, you know, kind of gets the root inside of us. And it's like slowly but surely that changes. I have one client I've been working with for almost 12 years. She started with 100 Ambiens and Vicodins and all of that. 12 years, we still have like relapses every couple of weeks, but the work that she's done on herself throughout these 12 years, it's gone her back to school, it's gone her relationship with her son and everybody else. And, you know, although she's still like, she had 1 year of full sobriety and then she goes back and forth every couple months, but now the relapses are 1 week only. And then, you know, so you could see, yeah, that is so important what you said, which is, I don't need to say I need to first quit in order to go get help. I can start gaining help. You started by listening. You started by doing some of the practices with yoga, with, you know, Buddhism, with anything that you could grasp, like your soul could grasp on, into health and soothing and self-soothe in so many other ways, that then you could let go of the material, let's say, or substance that you were using for self-soothing. You had to find different ways before you could do that. And I think that is so amazing for people to be able to hear that you could reach out and start gaining what you need as far as resources to build the momentum in yourself until the day that you say, I no longer need to wait until I hit bottom.
Yes. And that is why I also really like the sober, curious movement.
Yes.
Right? People just starting to say, oh, I'm curious about what that sobriety is, or how's that different from what I'm participating in right now and how I'm feeling right now. And, you know, easing into it instead of, oh, I got to quit. Cult is going to be hard and it's going to be challenging. And right. And then I've got to work really hard, right? Because I'm starting from nowhere. I have nothing, you know, my identity was with this, with the drugs and alcohol and with the pain that I was killing. And right.
I remember I had no idea who I was without a cigarette. You know, I started smoking when I was 12 and a half. I had no idea who Fujian would be without having a pack of cigarettes. You know, it's to say I work with people who have no idea who they would be without the drink. So this identity to know that you have one without it and to even be curious about who that be and be interested and excited about creating that, I think it's beautiful. And that comes with a process, as I hear you.
Yes. Yes. This is an exciting conversation. This sweet spot of being curious.
Yes. You have in your book, page 54, you said signs you're ready. You are already spending time in 5D. You explain different types of dimensions you want to share about the dimensions. You talk about the dimensions in your book.
Yes. So when I quit alcohol and drugs, my peripheral perceptions, my peripheral vision expanded. And I left this heavy place of just being in the 3D reality. In other words, what we can see, hear, taste, smell, feel. It's a very limited that only what we can see with or experience with our five senses is what's real, and there's nothing else available for us. And what I would like to say is it would be really wonderful if we could teach children that there were things that exist that you can't necessarily see, that you can't necessarily feel, that are out there for us. When my way that I experience them is I take my perception, I withdraw my perception from the 3D, I go sit in a place in nature, and I kind of blur my vision and relax. And then I listen for clues. I listen for birds chirping or a leaf falling or a wind blowing on my thoughts. And so I'm getting a different kind of communication with other dimensions starting. And these other dimensions are places of more comfort, more loosening of 3D time, you know, that time is just this man-made construct, and it puts a lot of pressure on us. So it's a place where you can go, where you can feel freer. That's how I like to start explaining it, different dimensions.
And you share that the fourth dimension is a little bit more cognitive and the fifth dimension is a little bit more heart oriented, right? And then you share in your book a lot more about how to know signs you're already spending time in 5D. You fully accept yourself and others and are aware that judgment is just your mind trying to keep you safe. You let go instead. You know that your reality is created by your thoughts, and you use your reality as a guide to clean up your thoughts, in a sense. You walk forward in faith. And you don't have to know the plan first, right? You start to eliminate toxic substances and people who are toxic or that are around you. And you're eating lighter and develop lighter kind of crystalline body. You feel oneness moving through the day. You don't feel alone or isolated. You feel connected and oneness with nature, animal, other people. Giving more attention to your dream life and feeling connection between waking and dream life. You're trusting your intuition more. You feel at ease. You don't feel rushed. and you actually enjoy the process.
Wow, yeah. I wrote this when I was like in the fifth dimension. I love hearing it again. I'm going to go back and read that chapter, Fujin.
It's so beautiful when when you hear yourself out loud through somebody else's. It's like it's like a boomerang. It comes and comes back at you. So there's a heart-based perspective that creates a safety, which, beforehand, there is this hole, there is this emptiness, there is this anxiety, there's something that is happening that you have to fill it with something else. And what you're sharing in your book and your experience as it's coming is how to come back to your heart, how to come back to your body, how to come back to your senses, and sit comfortably in that safety of connection.
Yes, and it does have to do with turning off the mind that just wants to run the show all the time, and the mind has a great job. It does police you, it does help keep you safe, yet we are, most of us, lucky enough, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably safe. You probably can let the mind take a back seat and open your heart and be running from that place more in your day, more knowing, more open. Oh, I'm getting a ringing in my ears right now. So all my guides are like, yes, what you're talking about right now is the right thing to be talking about. So that's, meditation is a great way to do that, to just close your eyes. It can be simple. Close your eyes, focus on your inhalation and your exhalation for say four counts. Inhale, 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 exhale, 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 exhale. And when your thoughts start to come up and they start to try to run the show, oh, great, those are just my thoughts. They're not me. I'm going back to my practice right now, which is my inhalation and my exhalation, focusing on that. And the more that you practice that, the more you are able to control your mind. And then your heart is running the show.
I've had this experience recently that my mind is very much like, go, 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 do this. Now the next project, I got to do this. I got to create this. I got to manifest this. I got to do that. And Ray, it's been funny because I've been getting yeses on a lot of the things that I set out to do. And I've been getting a major amount of no's. Like, thank you very much for proposing, but this is not for us right now. And many of the places I put myself out there, I got also a lot of no's. Now, before, it used to be like, what is it about me and what's going on and what should I do? And, I would get into this kind of like a fighting mode with life and all of it, that if I said so, and if I'm going to do it, and I have to do it, and what's the obstacle, and I got to get it. This past couple of weeks, I don't know if I got saturated with a lot of no's, but it was interesting that he was like, okay, maybe I needed to learn that way. And maybe I just need to learn this way. Maybe by it, whatever it is that I said it should be here, that it's not. Maybe I also need to learn this, like, and be excited, be curious, and in a wonder of how would life be without this, versus thinking that life only matters if this is here. So it's like this concept of just sitting with what is, and learning from it and really experiencing the yeses and the noes, the greatness of what shows up as an abundance, and the place that says, that life just shows me like, that's not where you're going, sorry. I know you thought so, but you're not going there. And there's this kind of contentment that you kind of experience with, I can't say it's joy, because I think we have a different connotation with joy, but calmness and connection. And that's kind of what I'm also experiencing with your journey, as if it was like I had to grasp something. And then finally I came that I knew I got all that I need. I got all the skills that I really, really have that comes from inside. And if I can just shush and sit down and listen to the skills that I do have, the connections that I do have, that there's a contentment and a safety and a beauty in that experience. Is that what I'm kind of getting from you?
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you're saying. And I also feel that it's about receiving. It's about, okay, so you're in these few weeks and you're like, you're putting it out there. No, you're putting it out there. No, you're putting it out there. No. Well, all of a sudden you're mature enough and you're happy enough and content enough that you're not offended by that. You're like, sitting back with that for a minute. Wow, maybe I'm meant to receive here. And that is just, it's just an easier place for me. It's just works better with my constitution. It works better. I don't know if you're into human design, but it works better with my human design type, my unique type. I am here to receive. And of course we all are. You know, we don't have to prove ourselves. This is our society and our culture is teaching that, you know, you have to work, you got to prove yourself, you got to make money. Otherwise, who are you? You know, it's that Protestant work ethic that none of us can really, really relate to. It works for capitalism. It doesn't work for divine, infinite beings of light and love that we are. We're here to receive. And to find that sweet spot when you are in bliss, when you are in contentment, when you are calm, it's all that trust to know that it's all coming toward you, coming for you, coming through you. We're cosmic conscious creators. We're creating our world, and it's an inside job. It's not grasping.
So everyone, High Sobriety, A Trip Out of the Bottle and Into Intuition by Ray Leonard. Ray, you also have a lot of great, not only tips in here, but also recipes. I started looking at some of the recipes that you have here for cleansing, clearing. You even put a 10-day master cleanse supply list in here. And you explain how that works, the cleansing of the day, the steps that you go through, a lemonade concentrate recipe. So share with us about that.
Oh, Bhushan, I love talking to you. I love that you brought this up. So I am a master cleanse devotee. It really, really enhanced my life when I started master cleansing. So lemon, cayenne, and maple syrup, this combination really goes in and cleans out waste out of your body, and it cleans out wasteful thoughts, and it cleans your receptors, your antennas, so that you're just clearer and lighter. And you know, it's not a diet like, oh, you know, I needed to lose weight. But I was actually in a situation with family where I was experiencing a lot of guilt and shame. And I said, you know what, I got to change something in my life. I got to get rid of this guilt and shame within me because it's being reflected in my life. So I started master cleansing with my teacher, Tom Woloshin, who's been doing it for 40 years. And so I said, I'm going to do one 10-day master cleanse with the group, which I highly recommend, because doing it on your own, you know, you don't know the process yet. So I did a cleanse with him. And then I was like, this is incredible. I feel really, really good. I actually did 10-day cleanses 1 year. And then the next year I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this again. I did 10 10-day cleanses the next year. And I, I transformed myself from the inside out. I lost so many trapped emotions. You know, when we eat food, when we're not feeling so great, right? I know I had a food addiction in my life also. And all those emotions that you're experiencing when you're eating this food get trapped in your body. So not only did I lose waist and went down a size in clothes, which of course is wonderful. Why not? I'll take it. But it wasn't why I did it. I did it to let go, to truly be the one who let go of control in my life and let go of all of these things that I didn't need anymore.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I highly recommend this book, High Sobriety. Ray, is there anything that we haven't shared that you really, really want our audience to know?
Oh, thank you. I would love to talk about the holistic health community. It is an organization in Stone Ridge, New York, formed by wonderful alternative healthcare practitioners who got together and said, you know what, this healthcare system is broken and people are not really getting what they need and they can't afford to get what they need, some of them. And so it's a community of practitioners who get together for a health day once a month and give our services. So you can go on the website, holistichealthcommunity.org, and book an in-person appointment if you live in the area. But you can also go on and you can book a virtual appointment with someone who does Reiki, someone who does frequency healing like me, therapists, money coordinators, all different types of services, and they're completely free. And what I love about it is the idea of building an alternative paradigm to the healthcare system that we have now. And I would love to see it in more places, more communities to have it. I would love it to bubble. And so I like to give it a shout out. And you can also go on and if you subscribe to their email, you can you'll get the email and you can book a free appointment with me once a month if you'd like.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you for that generosity to everybody. Thank you. Thank you for the time that you allowed. Thank you for sending me the book. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for taking the time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. I love your work.
Thank you. And for all of you who are out there, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.
Are you a psychotherapist looking to enhance your practice? The Awareness Integration Therapy developed by Dr. Fujian Zeng is a comprehensive guide to the principles and techniques of this powerful therapeutic approach. Join the growing community who have elevated their practice and expanded their skills by embracing Awareness Integration Therapy and witnessing its life-changing impact. Order your copy on Amazon now.
Break free from the forces holding you back. Get the life you deserve. Eliminate stress, reduce anxiety, decrease depression, and start living your full potential. Thousands have used Dr. Fujian Zeng's Awareness Integration Theory, an evidence-based behavioral health breakthrough with incredible life-changing results. Getting rid of past trauma, having fulfilling relationships, increasing earnings, and living their best life. Now, the Fujian app is available to everyone. The app is Dr. Fujian Zeng's Awareness Integration Theory in the palm of your hand. Download the Fujian app today.